Chapter 5. Rock Bottom. Liza. The first week I was in treatment, I slept a lot. I got up and went to therapy group. Travis had been sleeping with other women at the treatment center, so they asked him to leave. Unit staff wanted me to stay. I told them, I am not staying. I only came for him. I started packing my stuff and told Travis I was leaving with him. He told me he had a ride and I needed to find my own. I quickly packed, then ran to the entrance in a panic. I was hurrying so he would not leave me. I got down to the end of the stairs at the front of the treatment center just in time to see him drive off with his girlfriend. He left me standing there. I cried my eyes out as all the pain, abandonment, and rejection swept through me. I was without even a quarter to call anyone. I collapsed and prayed. Finally, I borrowed a quarter, called a friend, and went home. I think now about how codependent I was. Anyone who says this is not a feeling disease is in denial, and they have not progressed enough. It is such an emotionally painful illness. I had finally hit my rock bottom. Left standing outside of the treatment center, watching my husband drive away with his girlfriend, I felt so empty and alone. I went home and cried myself to sleep with a Bible across my heart. I was exhausted, broken, and lonely, with a heavy burden of hurt, a deep hurt that turned to anger, then resentment. My disappointment all turned inward, pointing directly back at me. I had finally become the rejected, abandoned, worthless person I had always pitied and was so afraid of becoming. Emotionally, I was dead. I had no concept of the disease I suffered with or the hope that recovery would bring. My self-sufficiency had turned into insufficiency. I did not even have any money for groceries. I dug around the house, in the sofa cushions, and under furniture, scavenging for quarters to buy some food. Then I walked to Walmart in a snowstorm to get some. As I was walking back, I sank to my knees in despair. The tears had long since dried up. Thoughts started swirling through my head. I have always had a car. I have always been able to take care of myself. Now look at me. I have gone as low as one can go. I saw no way out of the mess that was my life. I was at a place of surrender. I am so fortunate that I did not die. Too hungry, too lonely, too tired, and totally powerless over my addiction, I had no more to give. I had no more hope and no more desire to keep going. I was done. In that quiet moment, on my knees in fresh fallen snow, I realized that I must surrender in order to reclaim my life. In that profound silence, as I surrendered everything, I had a realization of a higher power. You do not know how much you need spiritual clarity until that is all you have. There is another promise in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous that reads, "No matter how far down the scale you have gone, you will see how your experience can benefit others." And I pray that you receive this gift at this open meeting tonight. I began to think about what I had learned in Sunday school. I had seeds planted because my grandparents were very faithful Christians. They had taken me to church throughout my childhood, and I had watched them pray and serve the Lord. I always knew that God was there, but I felt like there was something wrong with me and that I was unlovable. It was a time in my life that I was so far down that the only place I could look was up. I did have the belief that my life had changed, so I called my little sister, who is also a faithful Christian, and I let her into my life. She came to my house and prayed with me. She loved me and accepted me. She accepted me. My family was concerned for me, so she called my dad and they prayed for me too. She said that when she was praying, she had a vision. "I saw you in deep waters and you were being tossed back and forth through the waters." She continued, "I saw the hand of God reach down from heaven and pull you out of that water, and he set you on a rock. You were standing on the rock, and I told Dad you were going to be okay. We all knew that it was my illness of addiction that I was drowning in. I reflected on my sister's vision, and slowly, my life began to change. The first steps of Alcoholics Anonymous came to life as I surrendered. My parents did not know that I had left treatment until my sister told them. They showed up at my house, and Dad tried to talk me into going back. I told him I would be okay without that. My father brought out my son Charlie and asked him, "Would you like for your mama to go back to treatment?" Charlie said that he would. I realized then that was one thing that I never paid attention to, what the boys wanted or needed. It was then that I made the decision to go back. My fallen war hero who helped save me, my Charlie. "I told you that you had a problem. You have always had a problem," my mother angrily shouted from across the table. I saw my dad nudge her under the table. He told my mom that they were going to take care of the boys while I was in treatment. I could tell that she did not really want to. I understand now that she had no perception of what to do next. I went back to treatment the very next day. This time, I went for myself.